Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution, where we automate your systems, engage your customers, and help you grow your agency. And I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, where it's our job to find the geniuses, innovators, movers, and shakers in the insurance industry and help to discern and deconstruct what they do to help you grow your agency faster. And I'm delighted with today's conversation. It's with John Pritchard. John is a longtime insurance guy. His grandfather had a retail insurance agency, which was then operated by his dad. He started his career at Marsh and then went to Heffernan. Now, I first encountered John through Heffernan. Somebody told me that Heffernan is the 19th largest brokerage firm in the country. I haven't verified that, but they're big. And what interested me about this interview, about having this interview, is that they're innovators and they have created a program which is supportive of the small and local agency. And so one of the reasons I was just so excited about bringing this conversation to you is because I know that this industry gets a lot of criticism, some from me, about it being too slow to change and about it being stuck in its ways and about it, you know, because it is it's a stable industry, it does tend to rely on the systems and processes to keep it going the way it is, and innovation is not necessarily part of its culture the way it is in, let's say, Silicon Valley, startups, venture capital, technology, and all that jazz. Well, one of the things that I think you will realize in this conversation is innovation is alive in this industry. And John, so in the conversation, John talks about some of the trends and forces that he sees that are impacting the industry now, and how agents need to be able to respond to that. And then I've also asked him to share his vision and how he has created, how he's executed on that vision and how he has created a service that is truly innovative for the independent insurance agency system. By the way, at the very end, after the podcast, if you want to, you can stay on. I have a few comments about my conversation with John and a few comments about technology and the effective use of technology in general. That's the afterword to the podcast. You can stay on if you want to, or you can ignore it if you want to and hurt my feelings. So without further ado, I welcome you to my conversation with John Pritchard. John Pritchard, thanks so much for joining us. Before we get started on the meat and potatoes of our conversation, if you'd be kind enough to just share, how did you get where you are? I understand that you are at least a third-generation insurance guy on the retail side. Your grandfather had a retail insurance agency. So how did you get into what I think we're going to be able to demonstrate is a very interesting position in the industry?
Well, thank you. It wasn't exactly how I had planned it, but as it turns out of college, I got a job at Marsh McLennan at the time. Spent a few years there learning the property casualty industry, then decided I wanted a little more control over my own destiny and went to work for a small agency at the time called Heffernan Insurance Brokers, and have spent the rest of my career to this date with the Heffernan Group in a variety of capacities, from sales, developing a book of business, which I'm still actively involved in, to developing our program management company, as well as our a variety of other program and products, and then our whole small business initiative, which is where my focus has been for the last 10 years or so.
Got it. Now, you use the term Small and Heffernan in the same sentence. Now, I realize that was back over 20 years ago, but it's not small.
No, Heffernan now is one of the largest independent brokerage firms in the country.
Pretty
at the time, they were very small.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is actually not the topic of today's conversation, but knowing how Heffernan got from being a small agency to, I'm certain it shows up in Insurance Journal's top 100, probably fairly near the top. That's a story that we probably should dig into at some point as well.
Sure.
But maybe we'll hold that or for our next conversation, or maybe I'll get to it at the end of this one. But I do want to focus on the issue at hand. You have now come into a very interesting place in the industry. And one of the things that I love about my job is that I get to keep my finger on the pulse of innovation. And you are delivering an innovative value proposition to the insurance industry that's, I think a lot of people would say, is a little bit different. And you've created something that I think, John, was based on a vision. You've got some vision for the independent insurance agency, and in particular, the small agency. And I think that vision arose because you're seeing that the world is changing. You're seeing some forces and trends that are affecting the industry. That's where I would like to start. What do you see as the forces and trends that agents must pay attention to now?
Yeah, so I think that I feel that there's a variety of trends ranging from, you know, consumer behaviors to, and what I mean by consumer behaviors is how they want to purchase things, how they want to learn about things like insurance and other purchases that tend to be expensive and or tend to be things that they may not want but they need to have, and they need to get educated on them. So how consumers behave and their buying behaviors and their educational behaviors has changed a lot with the internet and with just access to more information. Another element out there that's had a big impact on agencies and the brokerage world as a whole is just the consolidations, the massive consolidations that are going on, and the acquisitions that are happening are having a big impact on the insurance brokerage world. There's a big trend towards carriers going direct. There's a big trend towards technology in the industry and disruption around a sort of archaic process that the insurance brokerage and the insurance industry finds itself, which is an opportunity for technology developers who think they can solve that problem with technology. And in many cases, they are. In other cases, they're not having as successful of a venture. But there's huge opportunity around technology to change the way that insurance is purchased and administered and handled. So I think all these things are things that agencies need to be thinking about as they look forward.
You said a lot, and you made about 17 questions pop into my head. I'm sure that if your grandfather, for example, or your dad entered into the insurance industry today and contrasted it to the way that they ran agencies back in their day, they would go, this is really different, right? And one of the things that you referenced was changes in consumer behavior. I may be asking you to state the obvious, but what do you see as what's different about the way consumers approach insurance today than the way that they did, maybe just a few years ago or certainly a generation ago?
Well, I think that there's no question that the majority of consumers, when they're looking at an insurance decision, insurance buying decision, they're going to the internet to do some research and learn about what the insurance is that they need and approximately what the cost is. Now, whether they purchase the insurance online is a totally different question. In some instances, I think they do. In others, they don't. But there's no question that they are going to the internet to get educated on what they need.
How do you think that changes the relationship between the consumer and the agent? Whereas before, I think they generally came into the industry, you know, if they were seeking insurance, they're pretty much in the dark because it's a complicated industry. It's got lots of rules and regulations, and it's, you know, it's difficult to understand pricing, you know, and so forth. How do you think that makes the consumer different for the agency to deal with?
Well, I think the consumer is coming to the agent with more knowledge mm-hmm. about the products and about what they're looking for. So the agents need to be delivering more than just the basic information about insurance coverages.
Ah.
They need to be providing more insight, more detail, more value add to the equation, and more customer service, quite frankly.
Okay, so you'd mentioned technology, and I think you made reference to, you know, technology experts or the insurtech community wanting to come in and gobble the trillions of dollars up and, you know, grab some of that volume for themselves. And yet I sense that you believe in the independent insurance agency system. What do you think it delivers or can deliver that still makes it relevant and still makes it attractive and still can be make it important to today's consumer?
Sure. I think that part of that depends on the consumer that you're talking about, because there is, I kind of look at three buckets of when we're talking about the smaller end of the insurance spectrum,
right. mm-hmm.
Small business in general. I look at kind of three buckets. There's the bucket, what we would call micro businesses, which might be your freelancers and independent contractors and consultants and individuals, just the micro end of the spectrum. Then there is the what we would call the standard market end of the spectrum, which is your Main Street businesses that need Main Street coverage that is pretty easily accessible, and the coverage that's available is very broad and very comprehensive. And then there's the third bucket, which is the non-standard and more a little bit outside the Main Street box of small business operations. Okay, oh, so
right.
So when you look at those three buckets, on the micro end, that end is going online much more quickly than anything else. And when I say online, I mean start to finish. They are searching for insurance, they're getting educated, and they're buying all in one flow. And most of those individuals don't necessarily want the insurance or want the protection. They have to have it by contract.
Got it. And,
so it's now, easy.
And John, not to interrupt, but are you talking about personal lines and small commercial lines?
Yes,
okay.
I'm talking about personal lines and small commercial, and on the, you know, on the personal, that's a great point, on the personal lines end, the most quickly developing, you know, online start to finish purchase is going to be the lower end personal auto. And when I say lower end, I mean the consumers that want to buy the most basic coverage, and they just want basic coverage, they're going to go online and they're going to buy it, and that's happening very actively and quickly right now. Now, getting back to your question around the independent agent, the independent agent becomes extremely relevant when you get out of that transactional side of the business. And there's only a portion of the business that is that end. The other end is businesses that fall outside of Main Street, businesses, emerging businesses that do things that aren't in the standard, you know, SIC class code that, you know, that insurance companies used to
right.
look at.
Uh-huh.
And those that have a little bit more complicated operations that don't fit on a standard market BOP. That's where it gets more complicated. And the one other place that it becomes, or one of the other places it becomes very relevant, is the consumers and the small business owners that value advice, that value service, that value insight and help and personal attention around their needs. That's where the independent agent becomes extremely relevant. And we believe strongly that the independent agent is not going to go away anytime soon, because a big percentage of the consumers and the small businesses want that personal attention, want that trust and advice that the small agents bring to the market.
Okay. So I have a couple of questions about that small agent. One is, do you think that they are under more stress or face a greater threat than larger agencies because of all these trends?
In some instances, yes. In some instances, no. I think those
okay.
that...
Yeah, so what's yeah, the, well, there's a critical difference. What's the difference between...
I think that some of the small agents who are not paying attention are at more risk than those that are paying attention. And if they're paying attention, they will remain very relevant.
Got it. Okay. So paying attention... Yeah, let me see if I'm hearing what I think you're saying, is that they're paying attention to the way consumers are changing and they're being vigilant enough and active enough or proactive enough to meet those consumers where they are. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
They have to live in today's world.
Exactly.
Okay. And so when I look at the spectrum of smaller agencies, I can see them falling into a couple of their own buckets. One is the agency who's always been small because they've never really cracked the code on scaling, and they've never really paid attention to the principles of marketing and growth. And then the other one, where in many cases they're smaller because they are newer, and yet they're progressive, they're interested in connecting, creating a customer journey, using technology to scale. Does that seem like a sensible way to kind of look at that small agency universe?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And okay, got it. All right. So I think what we're agreeing on for sure is that agents who are progressive, proactive, and willing to apply growth principles and technology to help them scale, those are the ones most likely to face a prosperous future. Okay. So
I would even say that you could take that one step back and say agencies that understand they need to evolve, even if they don't know what they need to do to evolve, are the ones that will stay relevant.
Ah, okay. So what do you think, you know, you're not a small agent right now, but if you were a small agency, and, you know, and my hat's off to them. They're generally busy, right? They usually show up to work on Monday morning, you know, and with plenty to do, right? So that week is already full. And, you know, here are people like you and like me saying, you know, you've got to be vigilant. You've got to pay attention. You have to look at trends and forces. You need to make changes. What do you think that small agent needs to do to keep their finger on the pulse of this rapidly changing, turbulent industry?
I think there's a variety of things that they can do, and we're pretty engaged with a lot of the... I prefer the term local agents versus small agents because you know, some of them are smaller, some of them that are medium-sized or larger, but they operate in a local region, in a local area, and they cater to that. Area or that niche and that market that they're targeting. So we talk to a lot of local agents. We're engaged with a lot of local agents, and you know, I think that they're talking to us because they want to do exactly what you described. They want to learn more. They want to figure out what they need to do to evolve. Many of them are especially the ones that are evolving, are engaged with various associations and mm-hmm. industry groups and peer groups, so they can share experiences, share solutions that they've encountered.
Right.
There is so much noise out there around technology and around the disruptors or the enablers or whichever term of the week you use, that it becomes very difficult to understand which ones are going to help the local agencies and which ones are going to be a distraction.
Got it.
So being involved, understanding, having a partner or a team or a peer group that they can engage with, we see as a big value add for the local agents we're working with.
Got it. All right. So number one, I really agree with what you're saying about seeing agents participating in mastermind groups or networking groups or staying in touch with you know, their own network. I've seen a lot of that. You know, I've always been a big fan of it, but I think it's tremendously valuable, and I'm thrilled to see around the country and in Canada, I've seen a lot of these groups springing up where people can share openly with each other. So you have a vision, or you had a vision, and now you're executing on that vision. And obviously it embodies a concern or a caring about the independent insurance agency system. And, so let's zero in on that. You have, one of the things that you talked about is technology, and maybe unusual, or I have an odd job in the industry. I think people recognize that I get to talk to the most interesting people in insurance. In this week alone, today is Wednesday. In this week alone, I've had three insure tech companies reach out to me. I think they saw me maybe as a contact point for the industry, and they were not the way a lot of people think of insurtech, threats and disruptions. Each of the three use technology to support the independent agency system. So I think we often see technology as a disruption or a threat, but conversely, on the other hand, technologies do arise that allow that support agencies as well. And I know that technology is one of the three categories where you provide services to smaller or local agencies. So you got a vision. John, share with us what that vision is.
Well, I think our vision or our, I don't know how visionary it was, but or is, however, we do have a lot of a strong feeling, as I mentioned before, that the independent agents are not going to go away anytime soon, and they're actually going to be very relevant. And we feel, with all the agents that we've spoken to and the interviews that we've done and the insight we've gleaned, we see that agents need help in a variety of areas, and it's a little bit different from one agency to another. From a technology perspective, specifically, since that's what you're alluding to, we have developed a variety of technology, wrapped up a variety of technology solutions. Some of which we've developed, some of which we have engaged with or invested in, and are bringing this array of resources to small agencies in a manner that allows them to select, kind of in a menu fashion, what they want to engage with, some or all of the resources we're bringing to the table. One of the most interesting, from my perspective, for small agencies that are in the commercial P&C space is our market intelligence platform that we have developed that allows agencies that are engaged with us to be able to identify the right market for the risk that they are working on, for the account that they are working on. So we've used the vast knowledge that we've got through our Heffernan organizations,
right,
and investments, et cetera, to gather all that data, package it up into a technology platform that allows users to identify the right market for the right risk very, very quickly with instructions on how to get there. So that's an important technology that we think it's evolving, it's continuing to be developed, and it's going to always evolve over time because markets change, et cetera. But that's a big value to the agencies that are working with us, and we think it's going to be a very good long-term play.
And that's proprietary? You've built that technology?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And but by the way, I kind of want to put this in perspective. You and I first made contact because of Heffernan, and somebody had, I think it reached out to us or reached out to me from Heffernan, and then one thing led to another, and I came to discover that Heffernan has a number of programs or services, one of which is OLLI, which is what we're going to be talking about now, OLI.
Yes.
Tell us, what is Ollie. And you, by the way, you are the president of Ollie?
I am.
Okay.
I am. I'm the president of Ollie. We launched Ollie last year in early 2017 with the vision of providing local agencies with market access, technology, market intelligence, back office resources and support, and sales support that they may not have or that they need. In addition to that, Ollie provides the ability for local agencies that focus in a particular space, may it be personal lines, let's say, provides them with the resources and back office to do all other lines, whether it's commercial lines, benefits, life, et cetera. We bring those capabilities on an outsourced basis to local agencies that don't have that expertise in-house.
So let's say if I were a small local agent before Ollie and a small local agent after Ollie, what would the difference be for me?
The difference would be a couple different things, several different things, depending on how engaged that local agency wanted to be. If they wanted to be fully engaged, let's say hypothetically you're an agency that focuses in the personal line space, and maybe you dabble in a little bit of commercial lines. By joining up with Ollie, now have access to more markets with potentially better compensation structures. In addition to that, we've got an agency management system platform that we silo out for the small agencies, so they have a very robust agency management system. They've got access to our market intelligence platform, lead channeling platform, and our CRM tool that's proprietary.
Right.
In addition to that, we now have the ability for them to access back office support, virtual assistant, et cetera, resources, sales support resources, and also round out those other lines of coverage, as I mentioned before, such as benefits, commercial lines, life, if they're focused on personal lines.
Got it. So, this is a challenge, I think, for every small business. It's that you want to get to the next level, but it's a jump and often requires, in some cases, a significant investment. In other words, I have to buy this entire technology, or I have to hire, you know, a producer or more. And there's no way to, like, normally buy 7% or 23% of a producer. It's like, you're all in. So tell me if I'm getting this right. You allow the small agents to enter into some certain growth strategies and growth technologies incrementally at their own pace.
That's correct.
So
we offer the ability for agencies that need certain resources to engage with those resources in whatever capacity they want to. So, for example, if they need a virtual assistant, they need some back office support to back them up when they're on vacation or when they're on the phone or out visiting clients, we can provide them with that resource. If they've got a handful of accounts that are really challenging and complicated that they need help managing, we can provide them with licensed account management individuals who are their team members who are, handling those accounts with the customers. So all the way through providing full back office account management support if they wanted, to engage with our account managers for their entire book of business.
Got it. All right. So the three categories that I was referencing are market access and resources, technology, and sales support, right? So those are and you've got a menu of items that agents can participate in each of those three categories. So, John, we have listeners in 50 states and 13 Canadian provinces, and I'm sure some beyond that as well. How many states are you active in?
As I mentioned, we launched in early 2017, so we're still getting we're still in the growth process, and we're in predominantly the western states, so California, Oregon, Washington, Nevada, Arizona. We are in Colorado and Texas. We're in Illinois. And we're continuing to add states as we go.
Okay.
It's a challenge depending on regional market requirements, et cetera. In the western states, we have extremely robust market access. On the commercial line side, we have national robust access. On the personal line side, when you get into the south and the northeast and some of the Midwest, we're not fully built out yet.
Got it. All right. So in a moment, John, I'm going to ask people, or I'm going to ask you if how, if people want to make contact with you, how they can do that. First, I'll ask you my famous insurance highway question. If you could imagine the insurance industry moving down the highway at 65 to 70 miles an hour, and John Pritchard gets one billboard where you can deliver a message that matters to the industry as a whole, keeping in mind that if it has too many words, nobody's going to be able to read it at all. So if you had, you know, somewhere between 7 and 12 words to say something that you think matters right now to the insurance industry, what do you want to say?
I would say that for local agencies who want to evolve, Ollie brings the solutions and resources of a large national brokerage firm to local agents in any capacity they want to engage with them.
Got it. Well, I applaud your commitment to the insurance agency system, and wish you the very best of success supporting small and local agents throughout the country. If people want to learn more or ask you questions or discover on their own, how can they make contact?
Well, they can go to our website at oliins.com, so that's oliins.com, or they can reach me at my email, which is John P. Jr. at oliins.com. So JohnPJr at oliins.com.
Okay. John, thank you so much for your time. And again, all the best of luck to you in supporting the independent insurance agency system.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hello, everybody. This is Michael with a very short afterword to the podcast. I thought that was a terrific conversation with John, and in part because I think it's really important that we look at this industry with fresh eyes. It has a reputation as being stable, which is good, but stable often translates as being slow to change, slow to innovate. And my observation right now is that there is a lot of innovation going on in the industry from people who care about the agency system, not just innovation for people who care to disrupt the agency system. And as I said in the conversation with John, this week, literally, and this is President's Day week, so today's Wednesday. Monday doesn't count, so literally yesterday, three insurtech companies reached out to me for conversations, all of whom are in and supportive of the independent insurance agency system. And I very well may ask some of them if they want to be engaged in the podcast, because I really want to share how much energy and innovation and vitality there is in this stable, old, sometimes creaky, old industry. Wanted to follow up a little bit on the conversation with John. Obviously, he made references, as did I, to technology. And I want to talk about that for a moment. A common complaint that I will hear sometimes from agents is, gosh, that's not what I signed up for. I signed up 20 years ago to be an insurance agent or what have you. And I never expected that I would have to be a technology expert. And, you can be in any field. It kind of reminds me of, what would happen if there were a contractor. Right now, Teresa is remodeling our kitchen here in Cave Creek, Arizona. And, you can just imagine, like, what would she say if the contractor said, oh, yeah, the only thing is I don't like tools. Hope that's okay with you. I really like you, but you don't like tools? No, that's not going to work. Tools are designed to help you scale. And, just like a contractor may need to learn and then invest in the next generation of tools, that's just the nature of the world. And frankly, it is changing fairly fast. So I have a comment about that. It's that you can learn to use technologies. And in many cases, you don't actually have to be the hands-on person with those technologies. But I think that humans are wired to love to learn, because when we learn, even though it's a difficult process, I mean, learning always means wading through our own confusion. And then when we get to the other side of the river, there's clarity. And so you can expect there to be some confusion. And I think I do speak about this in my State of the Industry report briefly. I think one of the characteristics of a successful agent today is the willingness to learn and to engage in some accelerated learning. And so you can do it. You just need to make the commitment to do that. I would also suggest very strongly that when you purchase technologies or invest in technologies, one, make sure that they're easy to use, that the engineers and designers paid attention to the principles of user interface that is friendly and easy to manipulate. And two, that wherever possible, you make sure that the company that you engage with has a decent customer support system so that you're not out there all on your own. So now, that being said, I want to provide a real quick overview on this whole confusing world of technology. And then I'll tell you where you can get some more information if this interests you. One way that I look at digital marketing for insurance agents today is to try to put it into three buckets. Okay, we talked about buckets in the conversation with John. Here are my three buckets. And admittedly, they overlap, and I'm trying to create a model in a confusing world. But think of it this way. You've got three relatively new technology buckets. One is your website, and that is extremely valuable for search engine optimization so that you can generate traffic. By the way, you absolutely must listen to the interview that I did with Tyler McConville. It is a masterclass in search engine optimization, regardless of whether or not you're the person who does it or you're the agency principal. Track that one down. But you've got your website, and you want to drive traffic there. And then when you do that, you want to inform people. You want to give them a sense of confidence. You want to begin to earn a little bit of trust. You want to share what some of your other customers have to say. You want to engage your viewers, your visitors. And if they are seeking quotes, you might have a quote request form on there and track whether or not that's working. And generally, you should keep your site refreshed periodically. You can't just buy a website from a vendor and then never pay attention to it again and think that, gosh, I checked it off. You know, I got that done. Don't have to think about it again. No, that is the face of your agency to the entire universe that's going to visit you there first. So bucket number one is the website. Bucket number two is social media. And that can be valuable for engaging your customers, sometimes engaging your marketplace in general, and very important element of what you might consider social is your reviews. If somebody is able to find you on the internet, they look you up, more than likely Google is going to be sharing your reviews. Refresh those, keep those active, get more and reach out to your raving fan customers and ask them to do you a favor so that you will have reviews when people do find you. And then the third bucket is what I put under this banner of marketing automation. Among marketers, advanced marketers know that the money's in the relationship. And there is nothing like email or other forms of direct communication that allows you to deepen and strengthen that relationship. The magic key in marketing is the list. And marketers also know that the most valuable of all the lists you're ever going to get is what marketers call the house list. And within the house list, you'll often have two or three categories. One, existing customers. Well, that's the most valuable list you've got. And I can assure you, there's a lot of money in that list that you haven't even begun to tap, because There are a lot of your customers that aren't fully protected. And then you've also got prospects who have come to you over time. And for a period of time, you should be continuing to maintain that relationship with you, particularly if they're new prospects who haven't reached their expiration date. And then, of course, you've got your lost customers. And for a period of time, you should be maintaining communication with them as well, because a lot of them will discover, gosh, the grass was not greener on the other side. So those three buckets, your website, your social, and marketing automation, if in fact... you know, if you asked a serious marketer if they could only have one technology or one way to communicate, it would be optimizing that list and communicating it through some form of marketing automation, so that so that you can reach out directly to those customers or to the those members on that list and deliver them value. Now, that being said, I want to address one other important principle in marketing. Sometimes people say, oh, you know, my customers or nobody wants to hear from an insurance agent. And in fact, the fact is probably nobody does wake up in the morning and say, gosh, I hope I hear from my insurance agent today. But that being said, you know, I don't think I wake up in the morning and say, gosh, I can't wait to hear from my bookstore. However, my bookstore emails me, I think it's likely to say more than 365 times per year. Now, my bookstore happens to be Amazon. I'm an avid customer. I purchase a lot from them. And now that Teresa and I have moved out here into the middle of nowhere and in the foothills of the Sonoran Desert, I don't just buy books from my bookstore. I buy a lot of things from Amazon. And so I don't wake up thinking, gosh, I want them to reach out to me. But they reach out to me virtually every day. And they reach out to me with things of value. They know me. They know my buying habits. They know my weird and eclectic reading habits. And so the communications that I get from them actually make a difference. And I never... You know, I'll glance at it, and I will one, acknowledge they know me, and two, I'll often make a purchase off of that. And so, and I'm not suggesting that you should email your customers 365 days out of the year. What I am suggesting is that the question, nobody wants to hear from an insurance agent, it's the wrong question. What they want are two things. And these are the two things, the two principles that I think should drive your communications with your customers. One, they want meaning. And so you can use your communications to connect with them with meaning. How? By delivering an ongoing stream of genuine value above and beyond the sale of the product itself. Certainly not every communication from you to your customer base should be, buy more, let me take more out of your wallet. It really should be, I want to be meaningful in your life. I want to be an important part of your life. There are a lot of ways that you can do that because you know so much about things that they do care about. The safety and the protection of their home or their car or their family or their business or their income, they care about that. So connecting with meaning by delivering an ongoing stream of value is number one, and connecting with delight by connecting as humans. You know, this does, it reminds me of conversation that I had with Chuck Blondino at Safeco, another podcast you should dig up. It's an all-star interview. Excuse me. And one of the principles that he has learned and that Safeco has learned is that it's not just about the what, it's about the who. And to the extent that you can reveal yourself as a real human being who they can connect with, who they can like, admire, and trust, then you will be deepening the relationships. So, number one, embrace technology. Don't be afraid of it and be willing to learn. Number two, the three buckets that I talked about, you can get more information from that from the Agency Revolution website. I wrote a short ebook, Digital Marketing Toolkit for Insurance Agents. You'll find a link to that on the Agency Revolution website. It's the toolkit in which I share, probably 50 do's and don'ts for websites, social media, and marketing automation. And then three, think about those two principles, connecting with meaning by delivering ongoing value and connecting with delight by delivering a sense of your humanity and who you are with your customer base. That, you know, John talked about the importance of the local agent. This is part of it. They want to know that there's a real person there that I can trust who's a member of my tribe, and you can use marketing to deliver a sense of that real person that you are and the real team that works in your agency. That's it for now. Hope you have a delightful day. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.